like that. All right, because this is going to be recorded for a webcast, you do need to speak into the microphone and have it turned on when you're speaking. A couple of things before I turn it over to our Brazilian friends for the welcome. First, thank you to Nelson and his colleagues for setting this up for us and providing us an excellent venue, I think. Second, an announcement that some of our discussions are bearing fruit. And that's a little bit of a pun, because at the board meeting in December, we will bring the proposal based on bare biological assets. We have the entire proposal in a single paper, other than some detailed discussions that we'll do in a follow-up meeting. Our hope is to cover the entire issue in a single board meeting, though, and to get all the major decisions made. That's our hope. Now, the staff hopes don't always turn into things, but that's our hope. So some of the work of this group is, as I say, beginning to bear fruit, and an awful lot of the materials that are going to the board came out of the work of this group and, of course, the Asia Oceania group. We have a number of people here, including a large delegation from Brazil. I wonder if we could start to my left here and just go quickly around and introduce ourselves. Amaro?
Thank you very much.
And I teach at Sao Paulo University.
Ernesto Galpke from Brazil, and a member of the CPC, Accounting Council, Pronouncement Committee, and also auditor, audit firm.
Felipe Perez Cervantes, chairman of the Mexican Financial Reporting Standards Board.
Fidel Coelho from Brazil, CPC member and representative of the accounting profession at CPC.
I'm Liu Jianlu from China, a Ministry of Finance, Accounting Regulatory Department. Second.
My name is Wang Hong. I'm Liu's colleague. Thank you.
My name is Chen Yu from China, Accounting Regulatory Department, Ministry of Finance.
我是财政部中华人民共和国财政部的会计师司长杨敏。
The Director General from Ministry of Finance of China, Mr. Yang Ming. My name is Gui, I'm interpreter, former Bovespa.
Ian McIntosh, International Accounting Standards Board.
Edison Ariza, Chairman of CPC Foundation and Technical Coordinator of Brazilian CPC, and also partner of PwC.
Hugo Werninghaus, I am a manager, technical manager of CPC Foundation.
I'm the only Russian here, Kirill Otukhov, KPMG partner.
Okay. My name is Hong Yi Lee. I'm a technical manager from Korea Accounting Standard Board. Thank you.
I'm Chan Kim from Korea.
Avinash Chander, Institute of Chartered Accountants of India.
Hi, I'm Kim Bromfield from South Africa. I'm representing the Financial Reporting Standards Council of South Africa, and I'm also a partner of KPMG.
Hi, I'm Bonge Ganodada. I'm from South Africa. I work for the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants.
I'm Domingo Marchese from Argentina. I'm representing the Accountant Standard Setter Organization in Argentina.
Hi, I'm Rosita Ulisinaga, the chairperson of Indonesian Accounting Standard Board.
Nelson Carvalho from the Brazilian Accounting Standards Board, professor at the University of Sao Paulo, and coordinator of international activities of the Brazilian ESB.
Well, thank you everyone for coming. I think now we usually ask our Chinese friends to present a report on the Secretariat Office.
Wayne, just a moment, Wayne. May I?
Sorry, I've skipped out of line.
Have
Edison,
some
of course. Yes.
Few
please.
Words.
I apologize.
Just a few seconds. I'd like to, in the name of CPC Foundation and the CPC, we are a pleasure to host this meeting of Emerging Economy Group in Brazil at the first time. We would like to thank everybody for coming, for stay here, and I believe you will have a very productive meeting these 2 days and the issue today also. Well, we have here our manager, Hugo, that could help you and some problems that you have in the stay here, okay? Thank you very much.
My apologies, this is what happens when the chairman goes off the script, isn't it? Now, to the Ministry of Finance, please.
尊敬的巴西会计公告委员会的纳尔逊·卡瓦略先生，尊敬的国际会计准则理事会的伊恩·麦金托斯副主席，还有阿曼罗·葛麦斯理事，还有维恩·奥普顿主席，女士们、先生们，大家上午好。Dear
Mr. Nelson Carvalho, dear Vice Chairman Mr. McIntosh, Board Member Mr. Amaro Gomes, and IFRIC Chairman Ms. Wayne Upton.
非常高兴和各位新兴经济体的工作组的成员在这次再次见面，相遇在这个相聚在气候宜人、风光秀丽的这个圣保罗。
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my great pleasure to meet you all again in lovely and beautiful São Paulo.
首先呢，我仅代表新兴经济体工作组的联络办公室，代表中国会计准则委员会。 向巴西会计公告委员这个委员会热情承办这次会议表示衷心的感谢。First
of all, I would like to express my appreciation for Brazilian CPC to host this meeting on behalf of EEG Liaison Office and the CASC.
同时呢，也向前来参加工作组第四次会议的国际会计准则理事会的副主席伊恩·麦金托斯先生和理事阿马罗·戈麦斯先生表示热烈的欢迎。
At the same, please allow me to welcome the presence of IISB Vice Chairman Mr. Ian McIntosh and Board Member Mr. Amaro Gomes.
自2011年7月份在北京成立以来，新兴经济体工作组呢已经先后在中国的北京、印度的新德里，还有阿根廷的布宜诺斯艾利斯成功的举办了3次会议，分别呢就公有价值计量。 外币折算、农业会计，还有国际准则的翻译等4项进行了深刻的讨论。Since
founded in July 2011, the EEG has held 3 plenary meetings in China, India, and Argentina, discussing fair value measurement, currency translation, agricultural accounting, and IFRS translation issues.
在咱们这个工作组的这个共同努力下，在国际会计准则理事会的这个高度关注下，工作组的3次会议呢，都取得了这个积极的成果，为国际财务会计报告这个议程确定以及改进提供了重要的参考。All
the 3 meetings were successful under our common efforts and support of the IISB and provide valuable reference for IFRS standard setting process.
借这个机会呢，我谨向工作组的各位成员辛勤付出表示衷心的感谢，并且呢，要特别的感谢新兴经济体工作组的这个主席，韦恩·奥普顿先生，他呢亲力亲为，为工作组投入了大量的精力，开展了大量的工作，使我们工作组呢运转顺畅。I
would like to take this opportunity to thank all members of our group for your devoted contribution, and especially Mr. Wayne Upton from EEG, who devoted himself to our group and have committed a lot of work for the smooth operation of the group.
下面按照会议的这个安排呢，我代表这个联络办公室向大家简要的汇报一下新兴经济体这个近期的有关工作情况。As
arranged by the meeting, on behalf of the liaison office of EEG, I will briefly report to you on the updates of EEG Group's work. One, on EEG's work and achievements.
工作组成立以来呢，各成员积极的参与、密切合作。工作组呢的顺利运转与工作成果的取得呢，也是依赖于我们各个成员对工作组的这个积极的投入和各个成员努力分不开的。
Since the group is founded, all members are actively participate and closely cooperate. All work cannot be accomplished without your inputs.
当前呢，工作组的有效成果呢，已经得到了理事会的高度重视，为国际财务报告准则的这个议程确定以及改进提供了重要的参考。Now
the meeting outcome has been paid serious attention from the ISB and provide valuable reference for the ISB's in setting its future agenda and making improvements to IFRS.
比如说，这个工作组的第一次会议形成的新经济体应用公有价值计量。 这个准则的指南，这个报告呢已经得到了理事会的认可。理事会呢正在加紧的就公有价值计量教育性材料的编写工作，并且呢以2011年的7月份，在新型经济体这个工作组的第一次会议讨论材料的这个基础上面，这个教育性的材料计划分章分节来分次发布。这样呢预计是第一章啊，大概是在今年年底以前发布。 涉及到的是无报价权益工具的这个公有价值计量。The
guidance on fair value measurement in the emerging economy formed from the first EEG meeting is recognized by the IASB, and they are working on the educational materials based on our discussion. This material is expected to publish in chapters, and the first chapter on unquoted equity instrument is expected to publish at the end of this year.
又比方说，这个工作组的第二次会议呢，对外币折算这个会计的讨论，这个成果也得到了国际会计准则理事会的这个重视啊，为这个国际财务报告准则的这个不断修改完善，也提供了有益的参考。Our
discussion on foreign currency translation on the second meeting is also getting much attention from the IASB and serves as reference for future standards improvement.
再比方说，像这个工作组的第三次会议讨论的这个农业会计的议题，目前呢已经纳入国际会计准则理事会的研究项目，并且以新型经济体的这个工作组和亚洲大洋洲会计准则制定机构组的相关研究成果为基础，在这个基础上面呢，计划在2013年上半年啊，这个直接发布征求意见稿。
Our discussion on agricultural accounting has been included in IASB's active project and exposure draft based on work on the EEG and AO, Asian Oceania's SSG, is expected to publish in the first half of
2013. 与会的委员是一致同意对国际农业准则的修订。What
worth mentioning is that in the IFRS Advisory Council meeting in this October, all attendees agreed that the IASB should revise IAS 41 agriculture.
这些成果的取得呢，也是我们新型经济体工作组全体成员共同辛苦工作的这个结晶，也汇集了大家的智慧和力量。
All those work is the fruitful nurtured by wisdom and commitment of all members.
同时呢，我们也欣喜地看到啊，自新型经济体这个工作组成立以来，广大新型经济体成员对工作组的这个参与热情也是很高的。积极参加会议啊，踊跃参与讨论。截止到目前呢，12个成员国都可以说是来参加过工作组的会议。 这次会议呢，也一共也来自9个新型经济体国家的这个会计准则制定机构来参加会议。All
those work is the. Sorry. At the same time, we are glad to see that since its foundation, the group has enjoyed numbers, commitment, and devoting in terms of presence at the meeting and discussion. To date, all 12 members have attended our meeting, and this meeting has attendees from 9 standard setters from emerging economies.
这次会议呢，我们即将讨论同业控制下的这个企业合并问题，这也是这个许多新兴经济体所面临的一个问题啊，也是很有现实意义的。希望这次会议讨论呢，能够取得积极的成果啊。这个希望新兴经济体呢，在这个同业控制下的企业合并问题上面的经验和见解啊，能够为国际会计准则的制定提供有益的参考。
This time, we will discuss business combination under common control, which is a realistic matter faced by many emerging economies. I hope the discussion will end with fruitful outcomes and continue to give experiences and perspectives of the emerging economy to the ISB for the standard setting process.
这是一个方面。第二个方面就是关于国际会计界对工作组的关注问题。
Second, on influence in international accounting community.
我们一贯认为，新兴经济体呢是国际财务报告准则制定当中一个不可或缺的一股重要的力量。工作组的运转有助于促进实现全球统一高质量的会计准则的制定。啊，实践证明，新兴经济体工作组的这个工作务实而富有成效的这个工作取得了积极的进展，也得到了国际会计界的广泛关注。
We always treat the EEG as an indispensable force in our accounting community, and our operation would facilitate us to achieve the goal of one single set of high-quality global accounting standards. The past practice proves that the EEG is running effectively from pragmatic issues and has made significant progress with growing attention from international accounting community.
根据我在今年二月份国际会计准则理事会这个咨询委员会上的这个提议呢，咨询委员会在十月份会议上面专门就新兴经济体工作组这个工作开展情况呢，向咨询委员会进行了报告。As
I proposed, the IFRS Advisory Council meeting heard the report on related matter of the EEG. Mr. Wayne Upton has thoroughly introduce the background membership mechanisms of our work so far.
委员主席呢对这个新兴经济体工作组的成立呢背景，还有构成会议这个机制，截止到目前的这会议成果也进行了详细的介绍，对工作组的各成员积极的参与、付出给予了高度的评价。这个咨询委员会呢与与会的这个委员呢对这个反应都很好，纷纷表示欢迎咨询委员会的这个会议呢。 增设这个议题，更为重要的是呢，他们还对工作组的工作架构和机制表示了肯定，并且一致认为国际财务报告准则制定应当对新兴经济体的相关问题给予更高的关注。许多的会计问题呢，也可能是不仅仅在发展中国家有，也可能在这个许多发达国家也存在。
The Advisory Council member all responded positively and all welcome it listed in meeting agenda. More importantly, the Advisory Council members affirmed the structure and mechanism of our group and considered matters of emerging economies should get more attention. Some issues might not be solely for emerging economy, but also existing in developed countries.
这个咨询委员会呢，在今后呢，还将持续关注新兴经济体工作组的工作情况，这些认可和肯定，也就是对我们工作组的这个极大的支持。The
Advisory Council will continue to keep up with the group operation. Such an acknowledgement and recognition is big support for our efforts.
国际会计准则理事会对新兴经济体工作组更是高度的重视。 大家可能和我一样，有同样的感受。这个理事会的这个副主席，还有这个阿马罗理事，这个亲临工作会议，这也就是对我们最大的支持。我们这个希望呢，得到理事会一如既往的大力支持。The
ISB support to our group is without saying. I believe you all share the same feelings as I have. The presence of Vice Chairman Mr. McIntosh and Board Member Mr. Gomez is one evidence of the board support, and we hope such support lasts as always.
正如在10月份的这个咨询委员会会上面，委员们的建议呢，就是说希望这个理事会有更多的理事啊，不仅仅是属于来自于新兴经济体的理事啊，能够参与我们新兴经济体的这个工作，使我们工作组的这个成果呢，让更多的国家来受益。
As suggested in the advisory council meeting in October, there should be more board members, not only those from emerging economies, to involve in the EEG and let the work of the group benefit more jurisdictions.
此外呢，我们在中日韩这个会计准则机构的这个年度会议上面，新兴经济体的工作组的进展呢，也多次成为这个会议议题之一。 汉斯主席呢，也多次在演讲当中提到，我们新兴经济体工作组这些国际会计界的认可呢，都成为我们不断向前的动力啊。In
addition, in this year's China-Japan-Korea Standard Setter meeting, the update of the EEG was frequently brought up. IASB Chairman Mr. Hans had mentioned the group in his speech on several occasions. All the recognition is one of our motivation to go forward.
这是第二个方面的问题。第三个方面就是关于进一步增进工作组的合作问题。Now
the third part on further cooperation.
大家一定和我一样关注到，在今年11月1日，根据这个国际财务报告准则基金会的战略审议的要求，基金会呢正式发布关于建立会计准则咨询论坛的这个建议征求意见稿。 这个提出为国际会计准则理事会建立一个会计准则咨询论坛，将国际会计准则理事会与国家准则制定机构和有关地区性的组织之间的关系规范化、正式化，并且呢，在这个一个新的多边机制下，使这个主要国家的这个会计准则制定机构与地区性的这个组织为国际会计准则理事会。
I believe you all learned the Foundation's proposal to establish Accounting Standard Advisory Forum, ASAF, in November 1st. The goal is to formalize connections between the IASB and major standard setters and regional bodies. Under this new mechanism, major standard setters provide comments and suggestions on the IFRS standard setter process.
就中国角度而言，我们完全支持基金会建立这个论坛。我相信呢，工作组的其他成员也应当支持这一论坛。在新论坛成立之后呢，如何更好地发挥新兴经济体工作组在国际准则制定的这个地位，我认为呢，也是值得我们关注和进一步探讨的。
In China's perspective, we fully support the foundation to establish such forum, and I believe the rest of the group should support too. After the foundation of the forum, how does it affect our role in the IFRS standard setter process?
我认为呢，最重要的是工作组应当本着务实的原则，更加积极地开展工作，为国际财务报告准则的这个制定提供高质量的研究成果。
This is matter worth further discussion. In our view, what is more important is that our group should continue to work actively, or even more actively, to provide the IASB with highly quality research on pragmatic ground.
另一方面呢，无论工作组的成员是哪一方啊，或者是哪几方都参加了论坛，在工作组的这个协调一致、达成共识的这个基础上面，应当呢。
在论坛中更好地发言晋升，更好地体现并维护新兴经济体的利益。On the other, no matter who joined the forum, it should better speak in the forum to highlight and protect the interests of the emerging economies.
此外呢，借这个机会，我还想向国际会计准则理事会呢一个建议啊，这个论坛的成员的分布啊，不仅仅应当考虑地区的分布，还应当要充分的考虑新兴经济体的现实情况。
In addition, we would like to suggest that the membership should not solely based on geographical allocation, but take actual condition of emerging economies into consideration and grant enough seats for emerging economies for its representation.
在工作组的各项工作开展过程当中呢，我们坚持了博采群议，集思广益的做法，使各个成员都参与在其中。工作组的这个工作呢是日益深入务实。In
operation, we stick to take comments from the most and ask all members to participate to make our effort more material.
一年多以来呢，我们就这个公允价值计量问题、外币折算问题，还有农业会计问题啊等这个诸多的有意义的议题进行了这个深入的探讨。这个呢也是建立在广泛征求意见的这个基础上形成的。In
over a year, we have discussed in deep on fair value measurement, foreign currency translation, and agriculture on ground. Of extensive comments in order to arrange the meeting more effectively.
为了更加有效地开展工作，安排这个会议讨论呢，在这次会议上面呢，我们需要对明年的会议议程进行充分的讨论，也希望各成员能够畅所欲言，就新兴经济体特有的，亟待解决的一些会计问题，献计献策，为制定全球统一高质量的会计准则共同努力。
At this meeting, we need to discuss the topics for next year's meeting, and I hope all members can speak up and provide possible technical issues and jointly contribute to the goal of one single set of high-quality global accounting standards.
借这个机会呢，我还要感谢各位新兴经济体工作组的成员和这个国际会计准则理事会对中国会计准则委员会的信任。中国会计准则委员会呢，也将一如既往的 做好这个工作组的联络办公室的这个各项工作，全心全意的为这个大家打好台、铺好务，更加务实高效的这个服务于新兴经济体的这个成员。也希望各工作组的成员对工作组及联络办公室的工作呢，也多献计献策。I
would like to take this opportunity to thank the members and the IISB for your trust for our work. The CASC from China will, as always, make sure the liaison office is well running to serve you all. And we hope to hear from you on the office operation as well.
最后呢，再次感谢巴西会计公告委员会这个承办这次会议，衷心的希望这次会议呢取得丰硕的成果。谢谢大家。Finally,
I would like to thank the CPC from Brazil again for hosting the meeting, and sincerely hope this meeting succeeds with fruitful outcomes. Thank you all.
And thank you. It should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway. The success of this group is in large part due to the sterling work that is done in the Chinese office, especially by Yu Chen. She is my conscience. And reminds me frequently that there are deadlines that I need to meet, and so without it, we would be not nearly so efficient an operation as we've become. We're going to do things a little bit differently today. We have an outstanding paper prepared largely by Wong Hee Lee from the Korean Accounting Standards Board, and it's supported by an extensive PowerPoint presentation. I have asked him to lead the discussion, and I will support him and from time to time ask questions and remind him when the coffee break is and important things like that. One of the difficult parts of this topic is defining the boundaries around which you want it to operate. As the paper points out, there are a number of common control transactions that take place under the umbrella of individuals or states or things like that that don't themselves prepare financial statements. yet they direct common control transactions between entities. It's not my expectation that we would ever compel any of those types of entities to prepare financial statements. We don't have the ability to do that, nor would it necessarily be a desirable outcome. Nonetheless, the transactions between businesses underneath that umbrella are transactions under common control. There's also a presumption that I have encountered from time to time that all common control transactions should be accounted for at what I would call carryover basis or cost. That's an easy conclusion to jump to. But I think as the paper points out, and I would like us to focus on this some, when there's a spinoff or when there are public investors involved, it's not obvious that carryover basis best serves those investors. And that was the genesis in the United States of what came to be called pushdown accounting or new basis accounting, because of the view that you were spinning off something and selling it into the marketplace on outdated information about the assets and liabilities of the entity. Now, that greatly profited the people who were selling because it made the entity look much more profitable, and they were able to demand higher prices for it. It didn't advantage the people who were investing in the entity because, as I say, they didn't have current information. So one of the difficult problems that we'll be discussing today, and I think the paper does a good job of bringing this out, is that there may be different situations in which you draw opposite conclusions about the best accounting depending on, among other things, who the audience for the financial statements is. So with that, I'm going to ask Wong He to take command, and the wheel is yours, sir.
Okay, before him, I'd like to have some remarks and suggestions. Firstly, it's Wong He, not Wong He. It's Wong He, okay? Wong He is different from Wong He, okay? And then I'd like to make a special thanks to Mr. Ian McIntosh, the vice chairman of the ISB. What? Please say it again. Okay.
The shouldn't be there.
Sure. Okay, so McIntosh, right? For his presence here, because this is our first time to have the board members who are not related to the reasons that we are making the meeting. So, and it's kind of signed from ISB that the ISB is expecting more and more from the work of the EEG. And okay, and another thing I'd like to say is that how we proceed today, because he made 7 subtopics, and I like to handle those 7 topics one by one instead of making full presentation first, then discussing everything. Yeah. So, and then I like you to make the discussion on the topics that is shown already in the paper first. Then after we finish all discussions related to this topic, and then we could discuss some other topics like you might think it's important for the under common control issues. Okay?
Okay.
And then after the meeting is over and we go back to Korea, we try to make a full script. We try to make summarize. We will try to make summarize the discussions, and then we'll send the files to you, each one of you, and then you check whether your opinions are correctly listed on that or not, and something like that. And finally, as our chairman Winnerton said before, he had spent too much time working on this issue, so and that unfortunately he got called today. So he can show his husky voice, so maybe somewhat better than his original voice. Okay. Why don't we start?
And my apologies for mispronouncing here.
Actually, I went the day before yesterday, I went to Santos and Guadalajara. So I swam in Atlantic Ocean. That's why I caught a cold. I'm sorry. I really sorry my bad voice. Okay. My name is Jung Hee-ri from Korea County Standard World. The topic that I will present is there is agenda paper, but I will present this using PT material. Okay. Maybe I hope you have the agenda paper to enhance your understanding during the presentation. Right. Okay, keep going. The topic that I will present is transitions under common control. Our UCC transitions, as I will call it. Unfortunately, this issue not easy and clear, but rather complex and controversial. Even I believe that it is one of the most difficult topics for ISB to develop relevant standards. So before getting started, I make sure that this presentation and the paper distributed do not deal with entire range of UCC. However, I have put all my efforts into the paper to address six key topics that should be discussed or considered when establishing UCC standard. The key topics discussed in the paper and in the meeting are in page 2 of the agenda paper. Okay. First topic is definition of common control. Second, identifying common control. Third, types of UCC transitions. Fourth, accounting for UCC transitions in consolidated financial statement. Fifth, accounting for UCC transitions in separate financial statement. Sixth, distinct feature of UCC transitions, especially in Korea. Okay, let's start. We start first background, starting with significance of UCC transition. UCC transition are transitions that take place among companies under common control. This transition occurs frequently in various business contexts, such as tax savings and corporate reorganizations. Also, UCC transition can have significant impact on financial statements. As far as I know, many respondents on agenda consultation in 2011 cited BC-UCC project as a high priority. It means that many interested parties have still requested the ISB to deal with UCC transitions with higher priority. Korea is not an exception. As you see on the slide, our internal research results indicated that out of the total number of combinations occurred over the last 8 years, 70% were UCC transitions in Korea. This data reflects this topic is indeed prevalent and significant in Korea. Even though UCC transitions are free countries carried out in practice and have a significant effect on financial statement, IFRS and US GAAP, which are leading accounting standards in the world, have not yet provided an organized and consistent accounting standard for UCC transactions. As a result of this, the picture of young seal on the slide shows our current condition. Very annoying. Such lack of standard results in diversity in practice, and thus it might bring about decreased comparability. Okay, however, the ISP's work to establish accounting standards for UCC is in an early phase and still underway. Let's look at the table. The ISP decided to add to each active agenda project on UCC transition in December 2007. But due to the restriction of internal resources, the project came to a halt in 2009. But last year, IFREC and OIC jointly published the discussion paper on accounting for VCUCC to urge the ISB to develop related standard. The ISB decided in May this year to give priority to recommencing research on VCUCC. However, a decision on how to conduct a project on BCUCC is only expected after the discussion of the IFRS Advisory Council. Now, we are discussing the agenda for UCC in this EJ meeting. The next one is scheduled in February 2013. The expectation is that the ISB will launch a research project, but the scope of the project is uncertain. Until now, it's a rather long background description. Let's move to the next page, objective. Yeah. In an effort to contribute to the ISB's development of standards for UCC transactions, Korea has proposed UCC transactions as the topic for this meeting. The objective of this presentation and the agenda paper is to suggest issues and questions related to UCC transactions, so that members of the EG would have an active discussion at this meeting regarding UCC transactions. And that the result of the EG discussion would contribute to the future UCC research project of the ISB. Okay, let's take a look at the first key topic, definition of common control. Yeah, I think the first topic that should be discussed regarding UCC transactions is the definition of common control. This is because the definition of common control is a basic concept of UCC transactions, and thus clarifying the definition would lay a firm foundation for developing a new standard on UCC transactions, like the picture on the screen. I called this pyramid UCC building. As you can imagine, UCC building means accounting standard on UCC. And we are the truck drivers. Hey, we very work hard. We are now contributing to make a strong cornerstone to build UCC building. First, let's take a look at the definition of common control provided under IFRS and US GAAP in more detail. According to IFRS, there is no specific standard for UCC transactions. However, paragraphs B1 to B3 of IFRS 3, business combinations, define VCUCC indirectly, providing the concept of common control. The description of control in these paragraphs meets the definition of control
set out in IFRS 10, Consolidated Financial Statement, and also states that entities may be controlled by not only another entity, but also an individual or a group of individuals. Therefore, the scope of common control might be viewed as more comprehensive than the scope of consolidation, since the scope of common control might be greater than that of consolidation. According to US GAAP, common control is also not defined. However, ASC 805, business combination, provides examples of various transactions classified as those under common control. For more detailed information, please refer to page 4 to 5 in your agenda paper. I already distributed. In addition, the Emerging Issues Task Force, which is called EITF in America, issued EITF 025. The title is Definition of Common Control Group in an Attempt to Define Common Control in Connection with FAS 141, currently refreshed by ASC 805, but failed to reach a consensus. Instead, the SEC concluded that common control exists in some cases, which are specifically described in the paper, page 5. Consequently, as you see the intersection on screen, a green area, the definition of common control provided both standards are quite similar. Yeah, green area is almost identical, both standards to each other, in that both standards state entities may be controlled by not only another entity, but also an individual or group of individuals. However, IFRS and US GAAP set out different definitions of common control for common control in IFRS 10 of IFRS and in ASC 810 of US GAAP. Therefore, the scope of common control may vary between the two sets of standards due to the difference in definition of control. In other words, the only difference between two standards is caused by the difference in definition of control set out in the two standards, but not because of the concept or definition of UCC. So, however, contrary to those standards, some people in practice expressed concerns that individuals and entities which were not subject to financial statement preparation in the past may have to face an increased accounting burden, as they would be required to prepare financial statement if the scope of common control includes both individual and entities, as stated in IFRS and US GAAP. Consequently, these constituents favor limiting the scope of common control to only entities, citing accounting burden in practice and cost-benefit reason. If the scope is limited so, the scope of common control would match that of consolidation. The relation between two different views on the scope of common control is on the screen. Let's take a look at the screen. Black line part represents the scope of UCC should be defined including individuals and entities like IFRS and US GAAP. Let's call it view A. On the other hand, red line part represent the scope of UCC should be limited to entities due to the accounting burden. Let's say it VV. As you see the figure on screen, the scope of view A is more comprehensive than that of VV. Consequently, according to the view A, all transactions between entities controlled by an individual or a group of individuals, government, or an entity, including the one not required to prepare financial statement, would be regarded as UCC transactions. But according to the view B, transactions between the controlling entity preparing consolidated financial statements and its subsidiaries would be regarded as UCC transactions. Let's take a look at the figure. Between two views, the most difference is that the transaction between entity P, S1 or S2, and entity O. View A considered this transaction as a UCC transaction. However, view V regarded the transaction between P and O as a certified transaction. With respect to these contradicting views, the following questions should be asked and discussed. Question 1.1. Do you believe the definition of common control set out in IFRS 3 is appropriate? For example, regarding all transactions between entities controlled by an individual, government, or an entity, including the one not required to prepare financial statement as UCC transactions, like view A. Question 1.2. If not, how should it be revised? For example, limited the scope of common control to only entities like view B. So let's discuss this question.
Okay, and let's leave Ong He a chance to rest his voice for a few minutes now. Comments, reactions? Kim.
Thanks, Chair. I guess maybe for me a starting question would be is maybe trying to establish why we believe we need special rules or different rules or different approach to common control transactions, because surely that should help us define the scope to understand, well, should there even be different rules, or do we just follow all the general provisions? Because I guess my thoughts around saying, well, if you limit the scope, then presumably the transactions that are outside the scope of the common control, you need to apply the normal principles, which would mean that, you know, for business combinations, you're applying IFRS 3 in full fair value adjustments, identifying all assets and liabilities, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know, I just think for me, maybe the starting point needs to be, well, what's the purpose of having a different approach to common control transactions, and wouldn't that help us define what the scope should be? Because should we even have different rules?
Reactions to that?
Which are the reasons that you see when you make this kind of division? Why? It looks like being much more formal than in substance, the definition of a common control.
The reason that I divide in two parts is that the view A represents the perspective of IFRS and US GAAP. On the other hand, view B represents the, can I say, people who works in practice. They would like to reduce their accounting burden. So they want to limit their scope of common control. It's a practical issue.
I think both of those questions are reasonable ones. One of the things that I think we've all struggled with is if you really developed all transactions under common control, that would include transfer pricing of inventory and everything else. If, on the other hand, you strictly limit it to things that we call business combinations, that is likely to exclude a number of transactions in the underlying equities of entities under common control that might not necessarily be business combinations. So my mental picture of the scope has been that we are dealing with transactions involving the transfer of underlying ownership interests, whether or not they constitute a business combination. And we're not looking at inventory transfer pricing or lending, cross-entity lending, and things like that, all things that we would generally think of as related party transactions. I do think that IFRS 3, in its definition, is something very much like View A. If I looked at a lot of the work that's been done, and I think, and if I mischaracterize this, I'm sure somebody will correct me, the paper that FRAG did, its focus was something much more like View B. So it seemed, when I read it, to address primarily parent-subsidiary transactions, or transactions between parents of a between subsidiaries, of a parent that had a reporting obligation. So it was a much more narrow scope in that paper, if I read it correctly. Others?
Okay. Okay. I would like to ask a question for China and Mexico. China and Mexico. First, China. If all transactions between entities controlled by government are regarded as useless transactions, I think lots of transactions would be interpreted as useless transactions in China, because China government owns a number of China companies, not only listed, but also unlisted. So what do you think about this? Should government be excluded from controlling entity? And then for Mexico.
Let's take one at a
time. Okay.
Please.
In principle, our view is more like the first one, the View A.
View A, yeah. 中国的企业会计准则第20号，就是 CAS 20号，当中呢，关于同一控制下企业合并的定义和 IFRS 3是基本一致的。
The definition in CAS, China's regulation, number 20,the definition regarding this issue is quite similar to our number three.
IFRS
number three.
那么理由呢是，如果我们把同一控制下的这个交易限定在编制合并财务报表的主体和子公司间的交易的话，会导致同一类型交易随着主体是否编制财务报表而产生不同的会计处理和经济后果，那么这个是不合理的。
If we put together the UCC transaction under the same scope, I think it will occur that will follow other hazard measures regarding the accounting process.
但是呢关于这个第一种观点，也就是 View A， 我们值得关注，或者说我们希望要强调的是，在通常的情况下，同一控制下的企业合并是指发生在同一企业集团内部企业之间的合并。那么，同受国家或者说同受政府控制的企业之间发生的合并，不应该仅仅因为参与合并各方在合并前后均受政府控制而将其作为同一控制下的企业合并。
But we would like to highlight the view A when this kind of transaction we can understand that is under the same shareholders, and we cannot consider that this kind of thing is controlled by the government in the very
up front. That's our view.
This issue, the transactions under control of government, it's not only the Chinese problem. It is also topical for the Russian Federation. And when we look at these transactions, or such type of transactions, we see that it has a lot of similarity with the transactions controlled by individuals or by the legal entity. It often doesn't have any market substantiation or economical sense. And that is why we believe that the governmental common control, or the governmental control transactions and the individual control transactions should be considered together.
Avinash?
I think there are basically two issues to be decided first. One is that who is the controller? That is, who is the entity? Which is the entity which is controlling? Whether it is an entity under a common control like in the consolidation, or individuals, or government, or a group of individuals, or families. The second part would come maybe later. But in the first instance, the issue is that whether we are considering only the business combinations under common control, because BCCU, that is what we are saying. So whether we are covering only business combinations or all type of transactions, because the title of this paper is Transactions Under Common Control. So therefore, the first part is whether business combination or other transactions. That is the first part. And second is that which entity should control. Now, as far as the first part is concerned, the business combinations, the IFRS 3 refers only to business combinations. So it does not refer to all types of transactions. So it seems that if we look strictly at the scope of IFRS 3, it says the business combinations under common control are scoped out of this IFRS. So which means that there will be some other method of accounting which will have to be applied if necessary. So that is, so we have to first decide what type of transactions we want to cover, business combinations only or some other types of transactions, and if some other transactions of other types of transaction, then where do we stop? Like Wayne mentioned about inventory transfers and things like that. So we have to decide about that particular scope. The second part is with regard to who is the controller, who is, what entity has to control. So that is the second part. Now, insofar as the second part, the issue which was raised regarding government is concerned, with regard to the government, I may mention that in India also there are public sector companies which are controlled by the government. Either the shareholder is, the government is 100% shareholder, or more than 50% shareholder is the government. Now, the thing is that since the government control the public, these companies, there is an element of common control. Recently, about a couple of years back, there was Indian Airlines got merged in Air India. Both these companies are controlled by the government. Now, this order came from the government that there has to be a kind of a merger of these two companies. But there was no standard to recognize this kind of a transaction. The existing standard was applicable to the business entities. And when we applied that standard, there was issues which arose from that. So what I feel is that for the second part, who is to control, if we have to identify that whether government should be considered as one of the controlling entities for the purpose of the scope of the transaction, the government should be considered as one of the entities. But the first part is that identification of what type of transactions we are covering.
Felipe, and then I have a proposal.
Yes, before you make the specific question for Mexico, I just want to contribute with one comment. In Mexico, the government prepares consolidated financial statements, in fact, but it's not in accordance with accrual basis. It's a budgeted-oriented basis. They present what they call la cuenta pública, public accounts, all putting all together. Now, starting with 2013, they will not achieve the date, but that's the intention. They will start making consolidations based on proper consolidation basis. They will eliminate transactions among companies and all that, but this is a new law that will come into effect in 2013. Many of us believe that they will not accomplish the 2013. They will have to defer that, perhaps for 2015. That's what they are doing.
Yes, I would like to share what we did in Indonesia, because I think even before we converted to IFRS, we really think we need this standard, because in Indonesia there are a lot of transaction under common control. At the time, the issue is because the controlling party can create the transaction in such a way to make gain in one entity or loss in one entity. So that's why the reason why we really think we need a standard for this. So after we converged to IFRS, we adopted IFRS 3. Previously, the scope is very, very wide, including all transactions, not only business combination. But because we have already IFRS 3, then we revised the standard, and it is effective in 2012. We narrow the scope to be only business combination, which may have a weakness because there are other transactions which also involve with the ownership, which is not regulated under the standard. So in accordance with that, I think we support the VUA, not only entity, but also including all individual. Otherwise, it will not resolve the issue. The individual can always rearrange the transaction in such a way to mix gain in one entity or loss in another entity.
Okay, let me propose that for purposes of our discussion, what we're talking about are transactions involving changes in underlying equity or ownership interests. So we're not talking about all of the other possibilities, but we're not limiting ourselves to things that meet the strict definition of a business combination. One of the difficulties that we've had recently at the Interpretations Committee is we spend a lot of time worrying about whether or not something's a business combination, rather than worrying about where we think the accounting ought to line up. So does that meet with any objection that we say we're talking about changes in underlying ownership interests, but not necessarily limited to business combinations? Yes.
Che, just to clarify, I mean, are we going to deal with transactions where it could be a division, so it's not necessarily that it's a change in equity ownership, but it could be a group of net assets?
Precisely why I don't want to call it business combinations, because it might not be a business.
Well, it still might be a business, just that it's not represented legally by shares. You're buying shares. The net assets as well.
So you see that a lot in spin-off transactions, for example. Yeah. And that would be a change in underlying ownership interests once the spin-off happens. So it's the setup that we would want.
As well as internal reorganizations and the forming of NUCAS, of the new top companies.
Yes. All right, we'll take that as a working principle. And now, if you can direct, Onghee, your question to Mexico, and after Mexico answers, we'll take a break.
It's a very similar question to China. As far as I know, very few people own a number of companies, or maybe most companies in Mexico. Is it true? Very few people own your number of companies. in Mexico?
It depends. For instance, there is a very large group owned by Slim.
I heard.
He owns many companies, banks and industrial companies and service companies and all that. Yeah. They prepare consolidated financial statements when they have all these entities in the common control. They follow IFRS starting in 2012. They should follow that. Now, there are other families in many areas of the country who own, for instance, Cemex is a very large company, the cement company, or beer and beverages like FEMSA, Corona, and some others, very, very large companies. However, we have a stock market.
Yeah.
In the stock market, there are transactions every day, and there are many, many people who invest in the stock market.
Yeah, I know.
It's an active stock market. It's not very large because of that situation you mentioned, that some families control the largest companies, but they is active, and they have to comply with the international financial reporting standards starting in 2012.
The reason that I ask this question is, if the few people still control money entities, I think the money transaction between entities controlled by some people are regarded as UCC transaction. So there are lots of UCC transaction in capital market. So if you follow the view A, money transactions should be regarded as UCC transactions in Mexico. So do you agree? The reason, I think, I'm just curious about you support, whether you support view A or view B due to your environment.
We believe view A is the most important.
All right, given my tendency to massacre names, can you introduce yourself, because you came in late,
yeah,
and then go ahead.
Yes, I'm Bhavna Doshi. I'm from the Indian Institute. I'm an elected representative on the council of the Institute. I had the opportunity of chairing our accounting standards board as well. Sir, I just want to make one comment. In India, when we have any transaction which results in structuring of the equity, whether direct or underlying equity, we refer to it as a restructuring. So it's a broader term, and it covers business combinations, what we call as demergers, breaking an entity into two and creating mirror image, where the shareholders of one entity also become the shareholders of another entity in the same proportion, and also spin-offs, where one division is spun off, it could be to a subsidiary, it could be to another entity. So maybe if we could consider using a broader term, because today the challenge that we face is that the standards talk about consolidation, but not the other aspects of restructuring. Thank you.
Yeah, I take your point. Historically, one of the real frustrations in this area, and I actually, in reviewing yesterday, was tempted to say, let's not ask this question first. A lot of people who have tried to deal with this find themselves not having a definition, but having a list of types of transactions. And so they say, well, we're not sure what these things are, but all of these are in the population. So that's the other alternative, is just to describe another number of types of transactions. That hasn't been very successful. I remember a practice fellow at the FASB who started with the assignment of developing one of these lists of transactions and didn't work on anything else for 2 years and wasn't finished when he left. So it's a very frustrating process, I have to agree. Yes.
There is no right or wrong for this, you include or don't include. Right? Since you are proposing something different, a standard,
I think for the user of this standard would be helpful to have even a broad definition instead of not having one. And we support view A. Very common in Brazil, for example, in broadcasting industries, individuals are allowed to be shareholder of different entities, but we don't have a group. But when they report or they make cross-border transactions, they prepare combined financial statements since they are belong to the same family, to the same individual. So it's really, you should cover all of the group of individuals, not only legal entities. Being legal entity, you will be focused more in the legal aspects, not the sense of common control.
Okay, before we go to a break, do I hear anybody who favors view B? I've heard a lot of people who favor view A.
In Korea, it's a fun fact. In Korea, there are two accounting standards. The listed company should apply to IFRS, and unlisted company should apply to local GAAP. However, according to the local GAAP, we support the PV. So, and according to the IFRS, we have to follow the VA. There is an inconsistency.
Let's take a 15-minute break then. We're right on schedule. Well, no, we're a little off schedule. Come back at 25 minutes until the hour.